this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest, Jerome Preisler, and we are talking about his new book, Net Force, Moving Target, and we're also going to be talking about some of his other books. During the break, I had a message, so Jerome, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great. Eugenia Lovett West sent me a text, and she's not going to be able to call in. She had an appointment this morning, and she's not back yet. But she wants me to tell all my listeners how much she appreciates hearing from them and all of their best wishes that they've been sending her. She is such a wonderful woman, as I said. She just turned 100 last week.
Happy 100th, Eugenia.
She is really an amazing person. I love her. This is so wonderful when you're that age. She can talk about D-Day like it was yesterday. She remembers everything. As I mentioned to you, a few years ago, a friend of hers was a victim of identity theft. She had never really thought about that. You know, her friend was quite senior, and she was really angry about it. She writes mystery stories. She has a series, and she also writes historical books about the Revolutionary War. But she was so upset about the cybercrime that she decided to do research. She did research, and she wrote a mystery called Firewall about cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it fantastic when you're 98 years old and you're doing that kind of research? Then you publish a book, and it's a really fine book. Wow. That's a wonderful thing about being a writer. You can keep going and going and going.
That's right. Even as parts break down, as long as you can find a chair, and you don't even really need to be able to see your screen. You can just dictate, so you're okay.
It gives hope for everybody. You know, it's wonderful.
That's right.
It's wonderful. She is an inspiration because she started writing when she was, you know, quite senior, and she's had 8 books, I think, now. And she's got one more coming out at the end of the year. So this is always so exciting for me when I get to talk to her. As a matter of fact, we were talking about The Automat the other day. There was a documentary on television about automats. And, of course, she remembers automats.
Actually, so do I. I remember the Horn and Hardart in New York, which I went to when I was very young. And I'm not saying anything about what I'm working on. That's still classified. But I actually have a scene in something I'm writing that takes place in the 1940s in an automat. So there.
Wow.
There you go.
Isn't that something? What a connection.
I want to get back to something you said, because these connections can be so interesting. Just before you went to the break, you mentioned The White Rose. And Moving Target was originally supposed to come out around Christmas, but I was given, through the good grace of my publisher, an extra couple of months to finish the book. And we changed the pub date to February 21st. February 22nd, which was yesterday, was the sad anniversary, the tragic anniversary of the execution of Sophie Magdalena Scholl and her brother Hans, who founded the White Rose, the White Roses group that you just mentioned. And I thought, wow, it blew me away when I realized I had not remembered the date that they were killed. And just to explain why we're talking about this and why you mentioned it, the White Rose was a group of students. And if I may, I'd just like to name them, because there were only a small handful. They were all executed by the Nazis during World War II in 1943. None were older than in their very early 20s. Sophie Magdalena was 21. It was Sophie and Hans, her brother Hans, their friend Christoph Prouse, Alexander Schmorell, Willy Graf, and I hope I'm getting his second name right, Kurt Huber. Sophie, Hans, and Christoph were arrested by the Gestapo for distributing anti-Nazi flyers at Sophie's the University of Munich, on February 18, 1943. And 4 days later, she was marched to the guillotine and beheaded for this horrible infraction, and also for having written the word freedom on, spray-painted the word freedom on some walls. She was arrested after having gone up to a balcony at the university and distributed a bunch of flyers. I think the sixth or seventh flyer that she and her brother had made up, and was spotted doing this by a janitor who was a dedicated Nazi. I refer people to the internet to just look up her story, because it's tremendously moving. And the way it ties into Moving Target is that, beginning with the prequel for the whole series, which is a novella called Eye of the Drone, I connect Colleen, our heroine, to to a group called the White Rose, which was the name of the group that Sophie and her brother started. And in fact, there is a connection that goes through all these 80 years from 1943 to actually slightly in our future, which is when NetForce takes place. And there's this very powerful connection to Kali that I finally explain and is fleshed out in the current book. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that to me has been a really important thread. And I was just blown away by the fact that the book came out at, you know, again, almost 80 years to the day after.
I thought you had deliberately done it. I thought you had selected that date for the release deliberately.
No. Isn't that incredible? It's just wild.
It's one of these strange golden threads that run through everything. Because I've actually been to the Geschwister Schollplatz, which is in Munich University. I've been there.
Oh, how did it feel to be there? Actually be in there?
Oh, cry. I cried. I cried. I cried a lot of times when I was in Germany. I actually owned a shop in Munich, so I was there quite often.
Can relate to some of the other stuff in the book as well.
Oh, yes. Very much.
A shop in Munich there, too.
Yes.
Interesting.
I owned a confectionery store, and I had one in Munich, and so I was there quite often. And I was at the Platz where... And when you think about it, and you sort of just casually mention, she was guillotined. Most people don't realize that the Nazis had, I think, 20 or 30 of these guillotines, and they were using them all the time. I think they beheaded as many people as occurred in the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm. That's accurate. In fact, the place where she was held was I forget what it was converted from, but it was it was made into a prison, and that's where they guillotined people. And there's a whole graveyard there of people who were just executed by the Nazis for absolutely ridiculous reasons. The judge who sentenced her, and again, it was a kangaroo court, and he was this guy who wore red robes and made a whole show out of it, and she was 21 years old and was unyielding. Her final words, I wish I had them in front of me, but her final words were just full of courage.
So the connection and connecting this to your story, the White Rose and your story, and how sort of all connecting here with Kali. And it's fascinating how you've done it. It's a complicated story. It's a big story. And you write about, I think you write about 1 year of... it's not easy. It's like what Nathaniel Hawthorne says. Easy reading is damn hard writing.
Yeah. What I tried to do with this series is really do a lot of world building. And I very deliberately, I had it... I conceived it, the first four books, as being a single arc. What I said to you a few minutes ago is very accurate, that when I write the book, I don't know how I'm going to get my characters out of whatever fixes I get them into. And it's just, if I'm surprised, then it's going to surprise the reader. But I do have a master plan. And that changes. It's very dynamic, but I have one. And so, it is a big kind of complicated world. I start out with Dark Web, again, the first novel, where it looks a lot more like our world. A lot of the stuff that exists around the edges that I know are there, I only hint at in the first book. But when we get to this book, I really was looking toward a second arc. And so everything kind of explodes here. And I think we don't have time to talk about it now, but there's a lot of interesting stuff with AI. Again, to use your term, the golden thread, the book comes out, and no sooner, I think the same day it came out or the day before, I'm reading the Times, and I don't know if you've read this conversation between this New York Times tech writer and Sydney, which is the AI that's been developed by Microsoft.
Yes.
Did you read that?
Yes.
And I don't want to leave listeners in the dark, the big topic of conversation, but essentially, this writer sits down to kind of just have a conversation with this AI that's been developed by Microsoft as a huge component of its search engine. And over the course of 2 hours, the conversation takes a really dark turn that was so unsettling to the guy who wrote the piece that he couldn't sleep that night. And if you read the article, it's in the Times, he's got a link to the full transcript of their conversation. And you can see where it really just veers off into the abyss. And at times, he's trying to pull back. He's trying to pull this very weird AI back to, like, what it's supposed to be, which is, you know, he's asking it, well, if I want to buy a lawnmower, what would be my best option? And it'll give him the options, but then it'll circle back to, do you realize I love you? I'm paraphrasing, but it's a very, very disturbing thing.
It is. It's weird and disturbing and frightening.
It really is. And that was something that I've actually been reading a lot about and working into the series. And again, some of it comes to fruition in this book. And really, I'm only even scratching the surface of where it would go. But yeah, so it is. It's complicated. But it's all kind of, you know, there's a lot going on around us. And it just, things seep in. And you just, you know, you get your idea for a story. And then all of a sudden, it's like, while you get your idea, you read something or something happens in the world, and it just can't help but filter its way through.
That's true. And we could also call this an international thriller because, indeed, it's not just Paris that's involved. You also have the Crimea, which, you know, is in the news now constantly. We don't know what's going to happen in the Crimea. So there's so much international intrigue, world intrigue, who's planning to do what, and it's a wonderful, beautifully layered story.
Yeah, and you know, here's another thing. When I wrote the part of the story that takes place in Crimea, I had actually set that up at the end of the previous book. And this was long before the current Russian invasion. So here, while I'm writing Moving Target, the invasion occurs in the midst of everything else, that some of the personal things I told you about and the pandemic. We have the invasion, and I've already set part of the story in Crimea ahead of time, so I'm actually writing about, or rather integrating, things that are happening in real time into the book as I write them, which is to say what the Wagner Group does when they become part of this whole horrible scenario. So there was a sort of a interesting feedback between what I was doing in reality, and it just kept going and going and going, and I don't think I've ever written a book where it's been that immediate. So, yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I don't want to kind of short shrift that part of the story, which features our, you know, that's the focus on that is, in that part of the story is on my other star character, Mike Carmody. And I think that storyline is equally interesting, I hope.
It is. And that's why I say I love the layers. I love that we have a lot of tension everywhere, but it is broken up a little bit. I love this. Should I mention the card playing, or does that give away anything?
We can talk about it. Why not?
I want to know if do you do card tricks?
I not do card tricks. Again, I'll try to make this as succinct as possible. If we go back to the Wasteland, there is a segment in which Elliot writes about the tarot cards. And I started thinking about sort of the connection between stage magic, which involves a lot of misdirection, and hacking, specifically phishing, phishing, which also involves misdirection. And since Kali is a master hacker and has conducted phishing operations in the series, I started wondering about whether Kali might have some card tricks up her sleeve. Well, I'm not going to say any more other than when I decided to work that into the book, through a friend, serendipitously met someone named Peter Bois, who I thank in the book. Peter is a professional stage magician who coincidentally lives in Maine, so he and I met, and Peter really helped me work on that scene. I basically laid it on his lap. I said, here's what I want. Can you give me any tips? So if that scene worked, here's a big shout out to Peter, because it was really Peter Bois' idea, you know, all of that.
It works. I love it. I thought that was so good. It's, you know, I love the big fight scene around the, you know, page 300, and then, you know, everything else in between. And then when I get to the card one, well, we'll let readers get to that point. You'll love it. It's fascinating. I thought it was beautifully written. So interesting. And I think everybody after that is going to the internet and trying to learn some card tricks. So I think he's inspired people. And
well, you know, thank you. You know, it's interesting because here we are. This kind of encapsulates the book. We're talking about, you know, Crimea, the tunnels beneath Paris, card trick. We didn't mention Robot Dog, but that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah,
Robot.
No, that's enough. Yes.
We'll leave it there. Is it? Patsy, is it okay if I do a quick shout-out to someone?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, Okay, I want to give a say hello to someone who's listening, and it's Liz Malone, and it's my new publicist, and you've had an exchange or two with her, and she says hello. And the reason I want to, I'm mentioning Liz, besides the fact that she's just a great human being, is that she has really turned around, I think, my writing career in a million different ways, and has helped me really navigate what is an emerging and difficult landscape for all writers. And since this show is about, I think it's important for writers to, at some point, for us to discuss what it really takes to break through the noise these days, because it's getting increasingly difficult. So that, I just wanted to say hi to Liz and thank her.
Okay, publicly. Absolutely. And Steve Hartov with her too?
Yes, in fact, that's how I met her. Steve and I, again, here we go. Steve and I met online. Turns out we're with the same publisher. We have the same editor, which I didn't know, he didn't know. We have all these other connections, agents, editors, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out that both our mothers came from Austria during the Holocaust. So there.
And the golden thread that connects us is that
right? We're
all interested in the same type of books. I love The Last of the Seven.
An amazing book.
And so it's wonderful. You know, I am so glad that I didn't speak to you on Pub Day, because I wouldn't have had enough time. But this way I've had plenty of time. Well, not enough time, actually. I wish the program was 2 hours. I'd keep you another hour.
I feel like we're just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up here. I'll just keep talking off the air.
I know. It sounds good to me, because I'm just so happy that we had this opportunity to talk about NetForce Moving Target. It's just a wonderful read. There's bad weather heading to everybody up north. This is a perfect book.
It's here. It's already here, Patsy.
Everybody, get this book. It's going to be a lot of fun to read. Jerome, you are just fantastic. The new book is NetForce Moving Target. Get it now and read it this weekend. You'll just have so much fun. I can't let you go without mentioning Civil War Commando, because that's the one my listeners often ask me about and that I recommend. And it's Civil War Commando, William Cushing and the Daring Raid to Sink the Ironclad CSS Albemarle. And I love that book too. Jerome, thank you so much. You are always a joy to talk to.
Patsy, you are amazing, and it's just been a pleasure.
Well, it's been a joy to talk to you. Stay warm up there, and I'm sure you're writing.
What else can I do?
That's it.
And shovel snow.
That's it. Okay. Bye-bye now, Jerome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What a treat. A whole hour with Jerome. That's what I call a real treat. Again, the new book is fascinating. It's lots of fun. Bye-bye now.